Welcome to Fast Intelligent Care, the podcast for occupational therapists who want to make a real impact. Every Tuesday, we bring you fresh ideas, clear insights, and practical solutions in assistive technology. Let's make smarter, faster, and more effective care simple. Your journey starts now.
Picture this. You're assessing a client in a hospital or acute care facility. They seem stable, they're positioned well, and everything seems fine. But a few days later, they develop a serious pressure injury. Could this have been prevented? Pressure injuries can be devastating and can lead to complications that impact a client's recovery, their comfort, and their overall health. And pressure injuries can be fatal. That's why risk assessment tools are so important. But with so many different tools available, how do you know which one to use? Are there some that are more reliable than others? And is one tool enough? Or should we be using just our clinical judgment? In today's episode, I'll be breaking down four pressure injury risk assessment tools. The Braden scale, the gold standard detective, the Wardlow scale, the overprotective parent, the Norton scale, the OG of risk assessment tools, and the fourth one, the Kirpis T tool, the new kid on the block, the traffic light system. I'll explain how each tool works, what they assess, their strengths and limitations, and this is so you can make informed choices when assessing your clients. By the end of this episode, you'll have a clear understanding of which tool or combination of tools would be the best fit for your clinical practice. So let's start with an overview of our pressure injury risk assessment tools. Firstly, the Braden scale, the gold standard detective. Considered to be the most validated risk assessment tool and the most widely used for predicting pressure injuries. It looks at six key risk factors: sensory perception, moisture, activity, mobility, nutrition, and friction and shear. Think of the Braden scale as the Sherlock Holmes of risk assessment tools. It carefully investigates different factors that contribute to pressure injuries and gives a score that determines the person's risk. But like any detective, it's not perfect. Sometimes two investigators or clinicians can come to different conclusions. This is known as poor inter-rater reliability. The Braden scale is best used for hospitalized clients, especially clients over 16 years old, and Caucasian clients, which means its weakness is it doesn't always account for diverse populations and has that inter-rater reliability issues. Next is the Wardlow scale, the overprotective parent. It's a quick and easy tool to use that scores clients based on seven factors. It's sex or age, client build, which could be your weight for height, your mobility, continence, medication, skin condition, and lastly, some special risks like malnutrition, neurological deficits, and major surgery or trauma. The Wardlow is like an overprotective parent who sees danger everywhere. It has what we call high sensitivity but poor specificity. It's very sensitive to risk factors, which means it often overestimates the risk. While this can be very helpful for preventative care, it might flag a client as a high risk when they actually aren't. It's best for quick assessments. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes to administer, and it's good for facilities that prioritize caution. Its weakness is its high sensitivity and poor specificity, which means it might alarm you unnecessarily. Next is the Norton scale, the OG of risk assessment tools. The Norton was the first risk assessment tool that was developed in 1962 by a nurse. It uses five simple criteria: physical condition, mental condition, activity, mobility, and incontinence. The Norton scale has been around forever. Simple and easy to use, but just like an old school approach, it misses some important things like sensory perception and nutrition, which we know are critical risk factors. So it's best for acute care settings where quick assessments are needed, but its weakness is that it lacks details compared to some of the newer tools that have been developed, and it doesn't consider some key risk factors like nutrition. Lastly, Kirpis T tool, the traffic light system, and the new kid on the block. The Kirpis T tool takes a different approach from the other tools. Instead of assigning a numerical score, it groups clients into three categories, almost like a traffic light. So it has green, which is a client that's not currently at risk for developing a pressure injury. We have orange, which means they are at risk but don't currently have a pressure injury. And then red is someone that's at high risk. They currently have a pressure injury or they have scarring from a previous pressure injury. The Kirpis T tool is best for client education and visualizing risk in a simple way. It assesses all the major risk factors that the other tools assess. However, there are some risk factors that it incorporates that the others don't. This includes pressure injury risk related to medical devices, which could be your catheters, oxygen masks, NG tubes, nasal cannulas. It looks at history of pressure injuries and also has a current detailed skin assessment, which the water load does have to some extent. It also incorporates the clinician's clinical judgment. Its weakness is that there's no numerical score, which could be tricky if you wanted to assign a score to communicate this to someone who doesn't have clinical background or add this into any report writing or formal documentation. Each tool has its strengths and limitations, which is why some clinicians use a combination of tools and also use their own clinical judgment. And this is going to give you the most accurate assessment results. Let's do a quick overview of our pressure injury risk assessment tools that we've covered today. The Braden, the most validated and assigns a numerical score. The Waterlow, quick and easy to use and also has a score assigned. The Norton has a score, works in acute care settings, but does not cover all risk factors. And the Purpose T, a very comprehensive assessment that incorporates clinical judgment, but does not have a score assigned. Now that we've explored these four tools, which one do you think best fits your clinical practice? And if you've used any of these tools before, we'd love to know in the comments your thoughts. Thanks for joining us on Fast Intelligent Care. We hope you're leaving with fresh insights and tools to make a real impact as an occupational therapist. If you've got questions or topics you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe and join us every Tuesday for more ideas and strategies to deliver smarter, faster, and better care. Until next time, keep making a difference.